Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
As I mentioned, I'll be speaking to Odwa Nweba. Odwa is a legal practitioner from the law clinic at the University of Stellenbosch and has just co-authored a piece called Collaborations to Curb Indebtedness with Black Sash. The piece was launched last week Thursday, the 12th was Thursday, yeah, last week Thursday, and it really does, it follows on from two previous, I believe, pieces, yeah, there were two, also dealing with sort of the consumer pocket within South Africa, indebtedness and the like. Really important, I suppose, discussion, particularly as we've just come out of discussing the various bank and financial services results. You heard about the burdens that are being faced, higher loss ratios, higher non-performing loans, and quite a bit of indebtedness appearing already on those results. As much as the CEOs are saying to us, the worst is behind us. A couple of cuts in interest rates, even 75 basis points by year end, is not going to take away the crux of indebtedness, which often ends up being a trap for South Africans. And the side of the market that we're speaking about today, and that is covered in particular within this report, is one that is not necessarily protected by the same laws that banks have to adhere to and the National Credit Act. Odwa Nweba, thank you so much for joining us this evening on Kaya Biz, and I'm looking forward to chatting to you about these findings.
Thank you very much, Rufilwe, and good evening to your listeners. And thank you for providing us an opportunity to speak on this report, which has been authored by Professor James from the London School of Economics, and then with co-authors from the Black Sash, Amanda Reinquest, myself from the Stellenbosch University Law Clinic, and a representative from the NFO, which is Ms. Gabelo.
Okay, fantastic. NFO being the National Financial Ombud Scheme in South Africa, what used to be known as the Office of the Credit Ombud. So we're getting an academic, a social, as well as a regulatory perspective. And in particular, what was quite key in your findings was what we know in South Africa colloquially as amashonisa, more specifically unregistered loan providers, and loan sharks, effectively, unregistered with the credit regulator. And the targeting by these amashonisa of SASSA, or at least government grant recipients.
Tell us more. So the main problem that we identified through our training, so this project started in 2021, which it started as a credit debt and consumer rights manual, where we went out to different provinces within South Africa, providing training on credit, debt, and the consumer rights. What we identified when we were doing the project and doing the training is that social grant beneficiaries were being targeted by unregistered lenders who use state social grants as security for high interest loans. This was happening more frequently then, like you indicated, Black Sash had done a report previously on the specific industries. So what was happening is that loans from formal lenders, which are automatically directly debited from the account, that was fine. And there are measures in which they are curbed. But what we found is that informal, unregistered lenders, like you refer to them as omashonisa, loan sharks, and so on and so forth, are withdrawing and taking directly from those people. So they take their cards, they take their IDs, and their bank cards, and they directly withdraw the money from the ATMs without actually going through that person. So they take the cards, retain them, and then when that person is then paid, they go directly to the ATM and take the money that they want, and then whatever is then left over, they give to those different parties, which is social grants recipient in this matter.
Now, Odwa, quite apart from the fact that this presents myriad insurance risks for, yes. you know, you, once you give away your PIN, for example, you, your bank can no longer refund you in case that person takes more than they're owed. This is why we're not supposed to share our PIN. To the fact that this is almost as unethical as, you know, what we've seen in sort of mining towns and the like, the payday loans.
Yes.
The idea here, you know, what are some of the mitigating strategies that you found? I know you've spoken about training.
Yes. So we found that with, you would understand there's the formal lending, which you spoke about when you referred to the banks. So like you indicated in your introduction, the National Credit Act and the National Credit Regulator kind of protects that field. What we found in the informal trading side is that there isn't much protection that is provided to those people. In, for example, is that once the person takes out a loan with the Mashonisa, they give up their bank cards, they give up their IDs. We know full well that that is illegal. A person is not supposed to have your bank card and they're not supposed to have your ID. But what we found is that because social grants recipients already receive a very insufficient amount, which they can survive on, they then continue to borrow from Abu Mashonisa so that they can cover the other expenses that they have. Obviously, they know that giving someone your card is illegal, and they know they can go, for example, to social development and report that person that they that person has their card.
Do they know?
Yes, they are aware in instances where a card is being taken, because you would understand the Black Sash group also does training on what is referred to as social grants recipients, where they provide training on, example, when you receive your grants, what you need to do when you don't receive your grants, so on and so forth. The problem is because people need to borrow the money, it doesn't assist them to report those people, because the following month there will be a shortfall and they won't be able to get access to that funding again.
I'm so glad you said this, Audra, because that was going to be my next question. And that, as I was reading through your report, was my frustration. All the education and training and awareness is great. But unfortunately, for as long as the market doesn't provide a borrowing alternative and the ombuds, you know, at a particular earnings bracket, this is going to be a persistent issue. Surely, if your grant is guaranteed by the state, if nothing else, is there, you know, can Postbank not extend a loan or something state affiliated where they know who the guarantor is?
So this is some of the findings that we highlighted in our report, is that with the coming into effect of the National Credit Act, it wanted to enable a fairer financial inclusion to end what we refer to as credit apartheid. So where people from previously disadvantaged backgrounds and mostly people of color didn't have access to credit. But now what happens is that there are two counter legislations, right? So DSD, which is the Department of Social Development, says that you cannot use your social grant, for example, the social grant that you receive on behalf of a child, in order to use it as collateral to get a loan.
Okay.
But the National Credit Act says, for example, that you can use whatever amount that you receive into your own bank account as collateral in order to receive a loan. Yes, the problem that we found is that even with that amount that the that specific recipient receives as a social grant, they don't meet the requirements in order to be given a sufficient loan that will last them in order to cover those shortfalls that they have.
One or two things has to happen. A universal basic income.
Yes.
Or not prescribed lending. You know how, remember when we had prescribed assets for asset managers? I mean, perhaps banks, you sound very youthful. I don't know if you remember Mzansi account.
Yes,
yes. So I'm old enough to remember when all the banks came together to open a Mzansi transactional account. It had far lower fees long before Capitec existed, far lower banking fees to try and get people banked in the first place. And it was supposed to be a precursor to getting them access to credit. It kind of fell apart. I'm not quite sure why. I guess the banks didn't find it profitable. But at some point, you can't, I mean, I don't know, you maybe have a better perspective on the ombuds perspective of this. But at some point, surely it's got to be either unethical or at least unsustainable for a financial services company to operate in a country where the vast majority is unable to actually get access to credit, and the only people getting access to credit are those who can basically pay it off themselves. Then what's the point?
Yes. So that's the challenge that we're currently having, is that these grant recipients have no other means to get credit except for going to Mashonisas. And you mustn't get us wrong. We're not saying all Mashonisas are bad. We're just saying the ones that take advantage of the social grant recipients are giving a bad name to other Mashonisas. And what we've seen is that, based on the trainings and the research that we've done, so you'll see on the report, there's also various case studies where the paralegals relay stories of how a person would have borrowed money, and then the Mashonisa basically buys them groceries for the month, and then it's basically sustaining that income. So you're basically keeping that person alive so that every month you can receive that grant. It's horrible. But that's the reality that we've found on the ground. Yes, it might be that with the establishment of a government operated bank that provides loans to grant recipients, that might assist. But you must understand, there is a very long-standing relationship in our communities between Mashonisas and lenders.
Final question. We do need to wrap up. I apologize, Audra. My curiosity has dragged it a bit. But last one, in terms of your study, key policy implementations you might suggest going forward. And I obviously look forward to your next study.
Yes. So we've identified five key findings, which we think would take the report forward. One is more collaboration. So more collaboration between National Treasury, the Department of Trade and Industry and Competition, and the Department of Social Development. The second one is an accelerated education and knowledge transfer. The third one, is increased funding to ensure that all departments fulfill their mandates, for example, creating offices in each provinces and doing community outreach. And then the fourth one will be a flexible and innovative solutions which are accessible and cost-effective to build on existing practices. For example, we found with the different paralegals that we were training, they use what is referred to as mediation to try and be the middleman between the social grant recipients and the Mashonisas, without them having to take drastic measures in order to recover their fees. But we also, during our session last week, we are in communication with different stakeholders, and we are hopeful that going forward, there will be practical solutions that will be produced collaboratively, which is the fifth one.
Excellent stuff. Yeah. Odwan Weber is a legal practitioner from the University of Stellenbosch Law Clinic. He is a co-author of this piece called, or this research paper called, Collaborations to Curb Indebtedness. Really strong focus on grant recipients and what they face with Omar Shonisa. Thanks again for joining us right here on Kaya Biz.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.